Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. I know it hasn't been too long ago since I used this setting as a text. And so we're going to go back and visit it a little bit this morning. Preach as I feel compelled of the Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Praise God. I am going to endeavor wholeheartedly this morning to go about this quickly, expedite the Word of God. And I don't want to bog down here this morning, but nevertheless, man, I want the Lord to move in this place today. Praise God. I know that there are festivities and such planned for later on this evening, and we'll have a good time no matter where we do it at. And, you know, back when we, a week ago, when we started putting plan to this, there was 0% chance of rain. And this morning, I think there was 90% chance of rain. And that means we're not going to get anything. You know, last time we had Fifth Sunday, we had 0% chance of rain, and we got 3 inches plus a little bit of hail. amen, praise God. But you know what that showed me? I got revelation today, and that's none of your sugar, because none of you melted. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy today. I pray, God, that you would reach down into this house, that you would touch us and that you would help us, God. Let the revelation of the Spirit be fluid amongst us here this morning. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost be about us, destroying every yoke of bondage, God. Let our minds be in one accord and help us, God, as we gather together today in one place. Father, I'm asking you to speak expressly, Lord, even as you would desire, God. Put it in my heart, put it in my mouth, Lord Jesus. I will speak your words today, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you and we give you glory today. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands unto the Lord and just bless him a little bit this morning? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen, and God bless you, and you may be seated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Bible teaches us that. That word, Word, in the Hebrew, we all seem to know, comes from the Hebrew word of Logos. And that word, Logos, just simply, in the layman's term, just simply means plan. And so this morning, I am going to preach to you about the blueprints of the real church. Amen. The blueprints of the real church. I want to clarify, and I want you to notice that I did not say that it was the blueprints of the Pentecostal church. I didn't say it was the blueprints of the apostolic church, but it's the blueprints of the real church. I believe that we affirm and we hold the word apostolic and Pentecost to us, that we call ourselves apostolic and Pentecost. So for better clarity and better understanding, that one can discern, understand, and know unto what we are holding to or attributing our beliefs to, we have often stated, as some would say, well, are you apostolic or are you Pentecost? The answer is, I'm a Christian. But the word apostolic just comes from the root word of apostle. And the Bible teaches us that we are built upon the apostles' doctrine. And so apostolic is just according to the apostles. And so we identify that we are apostolic in doctrine, or in other words, what we teach, what we believe, what we clarify, who we are, what we stand for, is based upon the apostles' doctrine. And the Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of that doctrine. And then we also ascribe in that we are Pentecostal in experience, going back to the day of Pentecost here in Acts chapter number 2, and that if you want to know how that we act and the things that we do, then we are Pentecost in that. We are apostolic in doctrine and we are Pentecostal in experience. Amen. Praise God. But I want to talk about the real church here today, because I don't really care. I do to a degree, because it gives me a place to start and begin at. And so, you know, I want to know if you're apostolic, Pentecost, or if you're some other denomination, because then that helps me to be able to understand who you are and what you're talking about, or what your beliefs are and such. But I want to talk tonight about, or this morning, about the real church. Hopefully that's not prophetic in that, amen, I just preached till midnight. Amen. But I want to talk about the real church here tonight, because that's what it's all about. It's about the real church. It's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's not about our feelings or our beliefs. We could sit down with one another and we can say, well, I believe this and I feel this and I this. But let's just take ourselves out of it and let's just get down to the Word of God. Obviously, our opinions and our feelings are formulated upon the Word of God. But when my opinions and my feelings cross the theology of the Word, then I need to change my feelings and my opinions. Amen. And the real reason behind all of that is because one of these days I'm going to stand before God, and the Bible said that the books are going to be open. I believe that the book of life will be open, and that everyone that has been born again and who have obeyed the gospel and the rest and the remainder of the blueprints, their names are going to be found there. And I certainly want my name to be found there. I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because your opinions didn't line up with the word." Amen. All of my opinions, all of my beliefs, my entire belief system is going to be lined up with the word of God. You say, well, there are some things that make sense, and then there's this other that, no, everything. And so if I have some type of issue and my belief system isn't exactly lined up, then I need to go find out why. Because, amen, when I understand completely, fully, to the fullness of the truth, then it will not only make sense, but it will gel together cohesively and begin to work together. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The Logos. The Bible teaches us that this Logos is the blueprint. It is the print. It is the plan. It was the plan of God. Being a builder and knowing how to read architectural prints from the beginning until the very end, obviously there are things that I understand a whole lot more than other things, but nevertheless, I can understand a set of electrical prints, HVAC prints, plumbing prints, architectural prints, ceiling prints, foundational prints. It doesn't matter. I can understand all of them. And again, some things a little bit better than others. But the word blueprints is just simply, if I could express it to you like this, it is the designed plan. It is the drawn out thoughts, capturing the imagination of the mind of the architect. He's got a visual plan in his mind that he is trying to achieve. And the ultimate goal is not just to have it on a piece of paper, but the ultimate goal is to stand back and to look at it and say, that's exactly what I imagined. Building the church in Hutchinson, we have had oftentimes we have had the architect come out and take pictures and things. But I remember sitting in the pre-planning meetings and of the job with him as we began to express things with him, began to go over things and express our questions. And the reason that we had questions is because we were given a set of prints. And looking at those prints, as builders, we began to work through things and such, and so on and on. And so we began to take those prints, the captured imagination thoughts of that architect on print. We took those prints to the job site, and in the middle of dirt, we began to stake out different areas and began to put forms up, and we poured concrete, and we did it according to the prints, and then we put the iron up, and we did it according to the prints, and we began to build and such like that. And the architect would come out, and he would look at things, and he would stand there with his hands in his pocket, and he would just look, and he'd nod his head, and he said, yeah, he said, this is what I had imagined it to look like. And as the job has progressed and it's began to take form and has began to express the very details of the architect's mind. Again, in his pictures, he had said, you know what? This looks good. This is what I had imagined this to be. And so, but that set of blueprints has everything that the builder needs in order to acquire the best facility that is possible or that is designed. Amen. Everything from a sufficient foundation that would be able to hold the entire structure, but also a structure that is strong enough for the differing elements such as hurricanes, tornadoes, wind, snow loads, and all of the other things. Everything to do with the plumbing. Where am I getting the water from? And when the water goes down the drain, where is it going? It's found in the prints. The air conditioning, where is the heat coming from? Where is the cold air coming from? And then when you get to the into the units themselves and you figure out that they've got to be powered, where is the power coming from? Well, it's coming from this sub breaker or sub panel over here. And well, where's that sub panel being fed from? It's coming from the main panel over here. And where's this power to the main panel coming from? Yes, because you set up a box doesn't mean that it's got power. Well, that's coming underground from the city. The city is supplying it here. Everything that you need to know, you will find in that set of prints, all the way down to the interior finishes. Is it concrete? Is it tile? Is it carpet? What are we looking at? Is it stained concrete? Is it polished concrete? If it's tile, what kind of tile? 1x1, 2x2. What is it? Finishes in the bathroom walls. That doesn't just necessarily happen. It's because somebody thought the complete thing through from the beginning. Amen. You know why we have a tile or some type of washable board in the bathrooms? I'll let you figure all of that out. But there's a reason, and the architect knew the reason. Therefore, he put it into place. Amen. Oftentimes, in pre-job meetings, everything is designed. And as the builder, because I'm the painter, and not necessarily, but if I am the painter, I don't have to go find the owner and say, well, have you picked out your colors yet? And what color would you like me to paint this and such? I can go to the blueprints. And when I look it up, I find in the room finished detailed section, this is the colors. And on the east wall, they want to do an accent color called this. And this is where you're going to get your colors from and such. And so everything is detailed. The ceiling, everything is completely detailed in that set of prints. 100%. Amen. That when I am done, it will be finished. Praise God. amen, not just a set of architectural plans, but the complete set of plans are there to be had to build or to send to assemble other mechanical items such as planes or cars or EVs or what about military tanks or space shuttles that we would send into space along with their rockets and satellites. All the way down to, if you don't think that this is, it is essential. There are schematics for an electric toothbrush, and it shows you how it's built and how it does this and how and why that it, amen, vibrates and such down. All the way down to remote control cars and toys and such like that. There are prints that tell the builder how to get from this point to the finish point. And in John 1:1, we're not talking about buildings and electronic vehicles or electric vehicles. And we're not talking about space shuttles and such. But we are talking about the plan of God, the redemptive plan of God. As a matter of fact, Revelation 13:8, the Bible says that God was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But let me just exalt that just a little bit, because in our mind we picture a lamb and we can say that he, God, was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But I want you to know that before all of that, that's the print. But before there was a print, there was a thought, there was an imagination, there was an idea that was going on in all of this. And so I would say that the blueprint was a culmination, the manifestation of a self portrait, the design of God in order to procure mankind's redemption. In other words, if you would go with me just for a little while, I would say that he was the Lamb slain before there were lambs. He was the answer before there was a problem. He was the eternal blood, yet without blood, before there were bulls and bullocks with blood to offer sacrifices. He was salvation before there was a need for a Savior. I'm just simply saying that the Logos, amen, the plan was the pure mirror reflection of himself, which God is a spirit. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. A spirit does not have blood. A spirit is invisible. But God was all of that before there was a need. He was the imagination. He was the plan. Amen. He knew what we would need before we ever came on the scene. Amen, amen. It did not just stop there, but it was the discrete plans of God, including all of God's thoughts concerning everything, not just to redeem man, but in order to keep man. God knew that just the redemptive part of man was not salvation alone. In other words, once saved, always saved. But man would be able to fall away, amen, from the works of God. And so God, in his redemptive plan, amen, he orchestrated it in Galatians 4, that when the time was sufficient, that he came through the womb of a woman and he became the manifested plan. But 33 and a half years later, it did not stop, but it continued to evolve, because holy men of old began to write as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so the thought of God, the plan of God, amen, began to fulfill even after 33 and a half years on this earth. Men began to write, moved upon by the unction of God, amen, in that it was said, amen, as Peter would declare under the Holy Ghost, that he would declare, amen, you've got to add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge virtue, and to virtue this. If that doesn't make sense, you're missing Wednesday nights, amen, because if you were here on Wednesday night, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. And Peter said, if these things abound in you, then you shall be fruitful. But he didn't only say that. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. God said, I'm not only interested in saving you, I'm interested in keeping you. I'm interested in causing you to have the best life. I'm interested in causing you to be successful. I'm interested in causing and seeing you make heaven your home. Now unto him that is able to keep you,
can present you faultless, you said, before the presence of his glory. Let's love the Lord here today. It was not just the discrete plans of God. Don't let me burn you down with this. But it was the transcendent mind of God, which just simply means it is above our thoughts. It is beyond, and then the Bible expresses this, that his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. In other words, there's things that I don't even understand and comprehend. I just want to explain it to you like this. If you put it on a set of prints, I can build it. I don't have to understand trigonometry, calculus. I don't have to understand college level. I don't have to understand doctorate level. I don't have to understand engineering and loads and spans. I don't have to understand all of that. It's already been figured out. If I just build according to the prince, I know it's going to work. You don't have to understand everything, but if you will be obedient to the word of God and the things that are found in the word of God, you don't have to understand. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, hey man, I have thoughts for you. That doesn't mean that we always understand and we always know it. But God's ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. And I know that he desires to give and do good things. For every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God wants to bless us above our imaginations, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah, what a great God. What a great God. What a great God. What a great God. That's why he said trust in the Lord, because everything doesn't make sense. Trust in the Lord, because everything ain't gonna go like I thought it was. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of thy ways, amen, commit yourself unto God. The Bible said he shall direct your paths. Praise God. There is a principle that is involved in blueprints. And that is simply, if I want to see the fulfillment of the mind of the architect manifested upon prints, then I've got to be obedient to the prints. If he said it was going to be 175 by 85, I've got to build it 175 by 85. Because otherwise, when we get inside, there's going to be issues. There's going to be problems on the inside because I didn't obey what was on the prints. And when I get to the outside and I begin to try to make everything fit, there's going to be problems on the outside because I didn't obey what the prints called for. Amen, amen, amen. And so there is an act of obedience that must be had when we begin to look at the real church. Amen. It does not matter my opinion and my thoughts. Amen. The Lord is the one that designed it. And he said, look, this is the way that you're going to design it. In Luke 24 and 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Amen. In other words, every part of the plan has got to be fulfilled. He said, which were written in the law of Moses. We're not, amen, X-ing out the Old Testament and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Amen. In other words, he was saying, amen, there are some things that Moses spoke of and it was about me. There were some things that the prophets spoke of and it concerned me. There were things that the psalmist spoke of and it concerned me. The Bible said, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures or the Old Testament. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, this is the plot. This is the place that you're going to establish it, that you're going to start this. He said, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But there is an act of obedience. There's a prerequisite that is here today. Tarry ye in the city city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from up on high. Everybody say, pastors in the house. Amen. I want you to know I'm going to preach until the world looks level. Amen. I've been butting up against spirits. I've been hitting spirits and I can't stand it. Amen. I'm going to preach until every devil is high-tailed, tucked, and he's running the opposite way. I haven't come to patty cake around and to tiptoe through the tithers. Amen. It doesn't matter if we're running 500 and nobody's saved. We got to be a part of the real church. We got to get into the truth. I want the truth and nothing but the truth, because if I'm going to get to the culmination, the fulfillment of the plan, which is heaven, I got to be obedient to the plan. I got to observe. I got to obey every part of the plan. If I want to see walls of jasper and gates of pearl, if I want to see streets of transparent gold, I've got to build accordingly now, so that I can hear him say, well done. Let's love him today. Oh, let's love him today. He who stands behind this desk has no family. He has no friends. Amen. He has no relationships. But he stands behind the desk alone. And he has a mandate to preach the truth and nothing but the truth. For the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's in chapter number 33. The Bible said, watchman, he said, I'm going to set some things before you. And when I say that the sword is coming, if you don't tell the people, the sword is still coming. And it's going to destroy everybody and the blood is upon your hands. But if I say the sword is coming and you stand up and you proclaim to the land that the sword is coming, and then they live their life frivolous and they don't listen and they don't obey and it comes and destroys them, then you are not going to be held accountable for that. I want the real church. That's what I am interested in. I want you to know that I'd love to pastor a church of about 500. Amen. But I'm not after numbers. I'm after the real thing. I want the truth. I want the solid truth. Whatever it takes to get me from here to heaven, that's what I want. It's more than what I want. It's what I've got to have. I've got to have it. And you need to be praying for that as well. God, don't let my pastor hold back because of me. If I need it, then give it to me. If I need to hear it, then cause me to hear it. I must be saved. And so he told him, he said, go. He told all of them, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Amen. We want to make heaven. If we want to be a part of the real church, then we got to be obedient to all things. We can't look at the print and say, well, I don't like that. I don't believe in that. I don't feel like that's important. The Bible said that the knowledge of God has been made known unto all men. How? Through the prince. Amen. But they have turned it into lasciviousness. Amen. Just because that truth came unto you and you didn't proclaim or believe it as truth doesn't make it non-truth. It's still the truth. Amen. I can sit there and I can say, well, you know what? That architect says that I can't span more than 90 feet with this measure and this amount and this thickness of iron, but I think that I can, and so that's what I'm going to do. And so I go ahead and I span 95 feet without upgrading it 90 feet to a different measurement and thickness of iron. And then when the first snow load comes and I'm having church on the inside and the beams begin to snap and begin to break and people are killed, who's accountable? Amen. The one that decided not to do it the right way, that's the one that is accountable. Praise God. And so the Lord said unto them, he said, now I've opened your understanding so that you could understand that all of this was done concerning me. And now I'm telling you that it behooved Christ to suffer and to die on the third day, to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Amen. There's the one thing that we got to be obedient to. Amen. We still got to preach about repentance and we still got to preach remittance of sins. We got to preach repentance and we got to preach baptism. Amen. None of this hokey pokey stuff. Amen. That you continue to live however that you want to live. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. That's what the modern world and modern religion will tell you. You can say you're sorry for your sin, but you can continue to live however that you want to live. That's not repentance. Repentance is an about face. Repentance is a turn around. Repentance is stop doing what you was doing and begin to live right. That's what repentance is. God help me today. He said, I did all of this so that remission of sins would be preached. And he said it like this. He said, be preached in his name. Amen. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Amen. This is not my doctrine. It's not my word. It's his word. It's what he said. I have to follow the plan. I have to follow the print. Why? I want to go to heaven. That's why. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, you are witnesses of these things. You've seen this. You've heard this. You know this. Amen. And now it's up to you. And he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but. In other words, there's a prerequisite that's there. He said, but I want you to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. Amen. I'll just say it to you like this. He said, I want you to congregate in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. Congregating is not my rule. It's God's rule. Faithfulness is not my doctrine. It's God's doctrine. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse number 53, you will see that they were obedient to the word of God. And the Bible said, and then were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They were obedient with what God said. They were obedient, amen, to the rules, to the print, to the logos of it all. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 12. It didn't stop there. Amen. But the Bible said they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they congregated into an upper room. Who did? Peter did. Amen. Peter wasn't good enough to miss. Amen. James wasn't good enough to miss. John and Andrew weren't good enough to miss. Philip and Bartholomew weren't too spiritual to miss. Bartholomew and Matthew had need to abide. James the son of Alphaeus, amen, wasn't good enough. And Simon Zelotes and Judas and the brother of James. And these all continued. They didn't stop. Amen. They continued. Amen. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Guess who else was there? Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was there with all of Jesus's brothers. They were all there. This is what God said. Amen. God said, this is the plan. I want you to go. I want you to tarry. I want you to continue there until you be endued with power from upon high. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You want Pentecost to happen in your life? You got to get in the church. You want Pentecost to happen in your life? You got to stay in the church. You want Pentecost to happen in your life? You got to stay congregating in the church. If I want a blessing, if I want a miracle, if I want deliverance, but ultimately, if I want salvation, I gotta stay apart and within the church.
It isn't my doctrine, it's the Bible. Somebody said, well, Sunday and Wednesdays, that's a Western culture thing. That's fine, let's go back to biblical days. The Bible said they continued to do it daily. You choose, Sundays and Wednesdays or daily? You say, well, then what should we do? That's left up to the pastor.
not to the saints. Amen. You know, let me express it to you like this. You only have one opportunity to make heaven. That's it. You got multiple opportunities throughout your entire life to do things. You say, well, I failed at that. That doesn't mean you quit. You can try again and you make it happen again. You got multiple opportunities. Well, you know what? I failed at that job. Get another job and you can succeed at that one. You go look at some of these man-made millionaires and you'll find out how many times they failed, but they didn't quit. They were given multiple opportunities. Kentucky Fried Chicken is one of them. That man didn't develop the recipe until he was after 60 years of age. He just kept on trying, kept on doing different things, just kept on working at different things. You got multiple options to do all that. You got one opportunity to get yourself to heaven. Let me go a step further. You've got one opportunity to get your children to heaven. You say, well, ultimately, it's their decision. Let me just tell you something. You need to raise them until they exit out of your house. Amen. This is what's most important, that you make it to heaven. That's what's most important. What we term as Pentecost has a price upon it, and it will never be completely satisfied. It will never be complete until we have fully obeyed. We've got to be fully obedient to all things. They were continually in the temple. And the Bible says, and they didn't just, oh, Jesus. We all said the pastor's in the house. Amen. Amen. You're just hearing what's been bothering me. Amen. And I'll just tell you what's been bothering me is biblically doctrinal. Amen. It's not just insignificant little things and such, but it's biblically doctrinal. Amen. And so the Bible teaches us, amen, that they were continually in the temple. And, amen, it didn't stop there. It didn't say coming to church is good enough. That's not what it said. Amen. It didn't say just come and just be there in spirit or in body and absent in mind and in such. Amen. He said they could continually, daily in the temple, and the Bible says in prayer and supplication. Amen. Prayer and supplication. There was three things that happened. Amen. They went to church, and when they were at church, they continued in prayer and supplication. Both of those are important. Amen. Prayer means a form and a spirit of worship. Supplication is, let me go to this word because I made up this word. You can't find it. I just made it up. And so they continued in requestful prayer. Amen. Microsoft Word didn't even know how to spell it, and they suggested other things and such like that. But it's requestful. Amen. Yeah. Prayer is a form of worship. In other words, when you come to church, you need to have a form of worship. I'm not waiting on the musicians to get it. I'm not waiting upon, amen, the singers to get it. I'm not waiting upon that. I'm coming with a form of worship. I've got my sacrifice of praise that I'm bringing before the Lord. And when I get in, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. And I am going to be prayerful in worship. I'm also going to continue in supplication. I'm going to have requestful prayer. Another words, I'm going to request some things. There may be some things that I request for myself and other things that I request for somebody else. And I might request it for the church in general, and I can request for my family and stuff. But it's not going to be all about I need, I need, I need. It's going to be in prayer and in supplication. I'm going to have my worship and I'm going to have my request to be made on unto the Lord. But I'm looking for Pentecost because Pentecost is where it was born. That's where the church came into existence. I want to see 120 filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see 3,000 filled with the Holy Ghost. How does that happen? I gotta get back to what happened on the day of Pentecost. They came to church. They were there, and they were not only there, but in prayer and in supplication. Don't tell me what you do in the church doesn't matter. That only coming to church is what matters.
That's not right. That's a lie of the devil. That's an opinion. That's a feeling. Amen. The Bible says that when they were in the upper room, they were there in prayer and in supplication. How you act before God matters. How you present yourself before God matters. Don't just come and sit there, amen, and say, well, if God moves upon me, I'll move. That's not even biblical. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. You need to, amen, you need to initiate it. You need to initiate it. Hey, God, here I am, and I want to get close to you, and God will draw nigh unto you.
Praise God. Read something the other day that was astounding. And it simply said this: I want to position myself in the place that God can find me. Said, I want to position myself in the place that God can find me. Say, well, he has an all-seeing eye. Doesn't he know where I am? He does. But that doesn't mean he's looking for you. Because the Bible said that the hour has come that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. God's looking for people on purpose. God's looking for people with purpose. God sees about 30 people here today. 30, 35 people. God sees that. But I wonder how many worshipers he's found. Because that's what he's looking for. I see everybody. I can see all things, but I'm looking for worshipers. There's a reason. There's a purpose that I'm looking for worshipers. I wonder how many times we come to church and God never found us. I want to position myself in a place that God will find me. And where is he going to find me? He's going to find me with my hands raised, with my voice lifted. Oh, I worship you. I'm going to be a true worshiper. And as I worship him, he's going to come through and he's going to look and he's going to say, oh, there it is. There it is. That's the one that I've been looking for. I see everybody, but that's what I'm looking for. Amen. And when you draw nigh unto God, he draws nigh unto us. Praise God. I got to hurry. I'm never going to finish. And so they congregated together. Amen. Praise God. We term Pentecost has a price on it, and it'll only happen when we fully obey. And so they congregated together. And when they congregated together, Pentecost happened. Amen. And so, oh, Pentecost happens. That means I can start missing church. Amen. Let's go to a little bit after Pentecost. Acts 2 and 46, the Bible said, and they, continuing on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's not what it says. It said, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. In other words, it became a habit unto them. They was always there. They weren't missing church. Praise God. Amen. I said they weren't missing church. I told you the pastor's in the house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Beyond Pentecost. Amen. Paul began to write in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Amen. We'll pull it up on the screen so you don't think I'm just blowing smoke. Amen. It's in there. It's in there. There's some things that we don't know that say, well, I didn't know that was in there. You know what? I can say I'm guilty of that. When I first started building buildings and such, I looked and said, you know what? My boss got onto me one time and he said, look at these walls. He said, look down that wall. That wall's crooked. And it wasn't crooked as in this. That's what he thought. That's the way he saw it. But it just had slight variation in it. And he said, you should have pulled a string line on that wall and made sure that it was dead straight. You know why he was saying that? Because there was chair rail on that wall. And that chair rail accentuated every little discrepancy in that wall. That chair rail showed the little waves that may have been in it here and there. A painter can fix it. Little putty and paint and make a carpenter what he ain't, huh? That painter's buying caulk by the gallons trying to fix crooked walls, making them look straight Because if you suck that chair rail up, then the chair rail does that. But we're going to make this wall straight, and we're going to put shims in behind it. We're going to caulk it, and that chair rail is going to look straight. I said, well, I didn't know that chair rail was supposed to go on that wall. And he said, well, let me show you some things. And he opened up to room finish schedule, and he pulled out hallway number whatever it was. And in hallway number 113 or whatever it was, it showed 3'6" chair rail all the way down. Just because you don't know that it's not in there does not make you unaccountable for that. So Hebrews 10 and 25 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much the more, amen, even as you see the day approaching. In other words, as the day comes closer and closer, the day of Christ's return, as it comes closer and closer, amen, we need to be exhorting one another. Where do we get exhortation from? Well, from the church, amen, from the pastor. Say, well, if he wasn't always harping about reproof, that's part of my job, amen, for the word of God is profitable for reproof and for doctrine and for such like this, amen. I want to know if the sword's coming. Amen. I want to know if the sword's coming. Praise God. And so he said, now in the English Standard Version, just so that we can better understand it, he said, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is. Praise God. See how quick that was? Man, that's beautiful. That's what it says. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is. Praise God. You want me to pastor or you want me to just skip it? I need Brother Dennis. Preach till midnight. You know, I'm just going to pastor for just a second. I'm going to hit this and I'm going to move on. I got this thing called a phone. You got one too. But you know, come Tuesday, Wednesday night, my phone will start dinging somewhere about an hour before. I can almost guarantee you who it is. Almost guarantee you who it is. It's become habit. You say, oh, you know, that's what the Word of God says. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. That's why I like clockwork. I can just say, well, I know who that is. That's so-and-so. That's this. That's this. And if I don't know who it is and I happen to look at who it is, I can pretty much tell you exactly what the problem is. And it's just become habit. Let me just tell it to you like this. It's not me being mad. This is about salvation. And that's what bothers me the most. I want to see you make it to heaven. Don't make it to me that I want to see you make it to heaven more than you want to make it to heaven. Because, friend, I want to see you make it to heaven, and I'll do everything that I possibly can to see you make it to heaven. I'll cross the widest river. I'll forge the deepest valley. Amen. I'll try to make heaven come down to meet earth. I'll pray until all of heaven turns loose. Amen. And hell goes away. I'll fast. I'll pray. I'll give my everything. But, you know, some of us can start acting and saying, I got to make it to church. Oh, hallelujah. If you feel like I'm on your case, then all you got to do is just change a little bit. I'm trying to help you be saved. That's why the devil continues to fight you, because he knows you're not committed. But when you get committed, he's got to find something else to fight you with. The preacher is saying, hey, I need somebody to wake up, because heaven is at stake. This is the ultimate plan. I've got to make it to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. You say, well, how bad is it? Let me tell you how bad it is. I have had people contact me almost 24 hours early, not sure I'm going to make it to church tomorrow because my stomach hurts. Well, if I could just have you have that much faith in God. I'm not joking. But you know what? That's the adversary. Because the devil knows. Come here, Brother Gavin. Help me. Turn around. You're going to kind of lean into me. All right? Just lean back. I'm not going to let you fall. But this is the devil. You're not going. You gotta walk. Okay, go forward, because I got slippery shoes. Now you can put some pressure on me, but you're not going to church. No, I really want to go. You're not going. Because if you go, you might get the victory. If you go, you might get an answer. If you go, you might get healing. If you go, something might happen. If you go, you might get a revelation. If you go, you might get through some things. If you go, something might break. If you go, you might get the victory. You're not going to church. You need to fight back with the same intensity that hell is fighting you. Don't you think that it's just abnormal that every Wednesday you get sick? Don't tell me that the devil's not involved in it somehow. You need to put your foot down and say, devil, come hell or high water, I've got to get to church because I know that's where my answer is.
Praise God. Sit down. Let me give you another example. I guess I'm going to try to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night all in one. Let me give you another example. I had somebody text me one time. I'm not calling any names. If you know it's you, then we've already discussed it. We've already talked about it because we did. Okay? But I had somebody contact me and say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to be there tonight because this, this, and this. What am I supposed to say? If you're expecting me to say, no, you need to be in the house of God, you're probably not correct. And if I say that, you better double down. Because I'm not a pushy fellow. I can't make you live for God. I can't. I've told some of you, all right, I'll see you Wednesday night. You need to be there. We've talked about it. But this one individual contacted me and said, you don't even know if it was here, California, or Red Bluff. California. Or in Katy. But I had this one individual contact me. Said, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. I got this and this and this. I'm like, okay. And so they missed. They missed that night. And we had flat blowout service. Powerful, powerful service. Contacted me back and said, you know, I probably should have been there. That was exactly what I needed. Guess what? It didn't happen the next service. And it didn't happen the next service. And it didn't happen the next service. As a matter of fact, I don't know that it's happened again. Specifically for that one, I'm just simply saying, you never know when God is going to show up for you specifically. And you missed it. You don't know. I have had debates about this. And I would say, if you could sum up the entire Bible in one word, what would it be? Many people said faith. Faith. Lots of people said, oh, faith, faith, faith. And I would say, you know what? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know what my word is? Obedience. You sum up the entire Bible in one word, it's obedience. If I do everything that it says, everything will fall straight into order. Didn't say that I wasn't going to have issues, problems, and all that other stuff, but everything. Because if I have obedience, I'll have faith. Because faith without works is dead. There's some, you got to add to your faith. There's something, if you're just obedient to these things, if you're obedient to the Word of God, everything just falls into place. Obedience is key when it comes to the real church. Praise God. Amen. And so in order to keep Pentecost, there's got to be obedience. And, Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I'm going to try to close this up. There's got to be the preaching of the doctrine. I'm not going to elaborate on it. But there has to be the preaching of the doctrine. That's how they kept Pentecost. Bible said, therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. All right? So he's preaching doctrine. All right? But he didn't stop there. Here's what else he preached. This is the inception. This is the beginning of the church, Acts 2, 37, 38. Now, when they heard this, when they heard what? When they heard that, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, because that's what doctrine does.
Doctrine will prick you in the heart. And you know what? You need to allow it to prick you in the heart. Because if it just pricks you on the outside of your heart, it's not good. For better understanding, look at this. Acts 2:37 and compare it to Acts 7, I think. Maybe 5. Stoning of Stephen. The Bible said, and they were pricked to the heart. Acts 2:37, they were pricked in the heart. They changed and got the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5, whatever that is, the Bible said that when they were pricked to the heart and they killed the preacher. There's a difference. Amen. You want to snuff the voice of the preacher out in your life, don't let the doctrine get into your heart. Don't let the preaching get down inside your heart. All right. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter preached doctrine unto them. And this is where, if we want to have Pentecost, if we're going to be a part of the real church, we got to keep preaching this. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have the authority to change that mode. I can't do it, no matter what I said, no matter what the popular opinion is. Doesn't matter if tens of thousands and hundreds of millions say, we can baptize them Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's not in the Bible. It's not. It's not in the Bible. God help me, I'm going to skip it. But he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself. Mama ain't going to save you. Grandma ain't going to save you. Aunt and uncle's not going to save you. You got to save yourself. Huh. So after Pentecost, they just quit that. No, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So they continued. They continue. There's got to be obedience. And then this is the characteristics of Pentecost. I'm hurrying. Characteristics of Pentecost, the real church. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen. Don't let me stop and start preaching. We ain't going to get out of here before noon. But he said, we should walk in the newness of life. No, you ain't going to walk the same way you used to walk. You're not going to do the same things you used to do. You're not going to be the same one that you used to. Why? Because you got a new life. You've been born again into the kingdom. Amen. You're not your old self anymore. Amen. You got to learn to walk in the newness of life. Amen. You don't go to the same place as you used to go. You don't say some of the same things you used to say. You don't congregate, hang out with the same people that you used to. You know why? Because they ain't nothing but a bunch of perverts and want to talk about filthy, perverted things all the time. So we don't hang out together. Love you. Yes. God bless you. You say, well, how important is that? I've taken a stand with my own family. I have. I've taken a stand with my own family. Had family members that were so perverted over every little thing. I said, you know what? If that's the way that it's going to be, then I don't have to come. And they found out that my plans was not to come. And they came back to me and they said, look, I want to apologize for that. And I said, look, apology is accepted, but that's your house. You can do whatever you want to do. I just don't have to come. And they said, no, I want you to come. So I'm going to change. No problem. You see? You don't have to put up with their pervertedness and their lewdness and all those other things. And definitely if you've got young kids. There ain't no way. We're not hanging around all that, filling their ears and stuff full of garbage and stuff like that. We got to walk in the newness of life. I am not subjecting my spiritual life, amen, around all of that lewdness and dirtiness and filthiness. There's no reason why I would have subject myself into that and then come out feeling like I got to have a bath. That's my fault. I said, that's my fault. But you know what? When we are born again, we are buried with him in baptism. And we rise again with Christ. Then we begin to walk in the newness of life. You say, well, all I'm doing is trying to save them. How much witnessing do you really do while you're there? But I will tell you that when I made a statement and said, you know what, I'm just not coming back. Whoa, whoa, wait a second. We want you to come back. Your house, you do what you want to do. Amen. Apologies accepted, but I ain't coming. No, I want you to come, so I am going to change. Your stand for God is what's going to show them some things. But when you try to conform in with them, you say, well, I'm just not laughing at their jokes. No, you're just sitting there listening to all of their jokes. We got to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say, move on. You're so good. I will. I'll move on. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Here's something. He said, if. You don't have to be. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And how's that new creature defined? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You got to let some things stay in the past. You know why you came to Christ? Because of your past. Why do you want to hold on to your past? Why is it so important that you want to try to drag your past and all that? No, just let it go. Just let it go. Say, well, I want my family saved. Your walking with God will be an identity factor. They'll see it. They'll understand it. And they'll come. Praise God. You just got to be faithful. Faithful. Faithful in all things. And so we are a new creature in Christ. Why? Because we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. I'm putting these some out there because I seriously, I don't want you to think I'm just making this stuff up. It's in there. Ephesians chapter number 2 and number 20. We are built. That's what we're talking about, the print. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Acts 2:42. And then I'm going to go to Acts 12. And then I'm still not done. Acts 2:42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. I could preach for a long time here, and I think I may need to. Amen. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 12 and 12. They continued. This is what the real church did. They continued in this. Amen. And when he had considered one thing, he came. Now this is Peter. He had been in jail and he's let out of jail. Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, were gathered together with many praying. Amen. They continued having what we call prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, that's just something you make. No, that's Bible. That's Acts 12 and 12. They were at somebody's house having prayer meeting. They continued in that. Amen. Not just on the day of Pentecost when they were having a prayer meeting in an upper room, but they continued in that. They were at home praying, amen, that the Lord would help Peter. And so the Lord did. Amen. Don't be surprised when God answers your prayers. You be faithful to prayer. God will answer some prayers. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Now, I said all of that to get to this. This is the whole place that I was going. It's got sidetracked a little bit. These are some characteristics of the real church. They walked in the newness of life. They're new creatures built upon the apostles' doctrine. Continue in prayer meeting. Amen. And because of all of that, there were things that happened. Mark chapter number 16 and verse 15. The Bible simply says it like this. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. I learned this next part as a Sunday school, little Sunday school kid. I used to be a Sunday school kid, and we used to have memory verses. And sometimes my teacher was real mean, and we had real long memory verses. But you know what? I still learned them, and I still know them to this day. But on this day, my memory verse wasn't real long. And this memory verse was Mark 16 and 16. And it said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned, or they shall be lost. Amen. Praise God. That was one of my memory verses as just a little kid in Sunday school. Amen. Praise God. I'll let you figure out the rest. But nevertheless, and then he went on to say, and these signs shall, This is what's going to happen. This is a characteristic of Pentecost. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. He goes on and he says, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He goes on to say, this is what's going to happen if you're a true believer. Amen. If you're really who you need to be, this is what's going to happen. You're going to speak with new tongues. Amen. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You're going to be able to do all these things. That's what I want to see. I preached all of this to say, I want a real church. I want a real godly church. I want an apostolic church. I want a Pentecostal church. I want people to come into this place and need a deliverance and get delivered. I want to see them come in and need victory and get the victory. I want to see them come in sick and leave healed. Come in bound and leave loose. These signs shall follow them that believe. Give me an old-fashioned tongue talking, holy rolling, amen, apostolic, Pentecostal church. I've got to see the power of God fall in this era. And you say, so if I go looking and I see this happen and this happen, then I know that they're true believers. No, that's not it. Amen. I'll just put it out. Benny Hinn's not a true believer. He's not. He's not a true believer. He's a charlatan. Amen. Just after a bunch of people's money. Amen. Praise God. That's just what it is. And I can name a whole lot more. You know why? Because they won't preach doctrine. They won't preach truth. Amen. They won't preach. Amen. All these things. They don't believe in separation. They got rings on every finger of their hand. Amen. Garbage up in all of this godly array and costly array. When the Bible speaks specifically even about it. 1 Peter 3:3, who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or any costly array. But when you look at those charlatans, what is out there? Hey man, it's all that costly array. They got jewels on them. They got gold decked out. They got silver. Hey man, when you find somebody or see somebody that's supposedly having a move of God, amen, and they don't line up to the word of God, it's not the spirit of God. You say, how can that be? The Bible says that Pharaoh's magicians were able to do some of the exact same things that God was doing. And the Bible said that in the last days that the false prophet would come, and by many signs and wonders and lying signs that he would be able to sway even the elect. You've got to stand. You got to look at the print and say, that don't line up with the print. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's going on. It don't match the print. I want a real church. I want a holy church. And I want the favor of God amongst us. Let's stand and love the Lord today. Miracles aren't going to get you in the house of God. Perceived miracles are not going to get you in the house of God. Let me tell it to you like this. I was at a church one time it was actually a youth rally. And there was this quote unquote prophet in the Pentecostal ranks. We didn't really know anything about him. Since then, we have found out immense. I won't call his name, but he was preaching that night. So-called prophet of God. And he began to point out different things. And he looked at this lady. Exaggerate not. He looked at this lady and he said, God just healed you of your back condition. She's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Down the aisle is a woman who's hunched over, and you can tell she's in pain. God didn't heal her of her back condition. But somebody that didn't, nobody would even know that they had back condition. So it's like, okay. So then he stopped and he said, everybody that needs something, that needs a miracle, would you please come to the front? Everybody that needs a miracle, please come to the front. And so everybody started coming to the front. All these people started coming to the front. And he walked up to this one man and he put his hand upon his shoulder and he said, brother, he said, God just spoke to me and told me to tell you that God has healed you of your problem. Would you please tell everybody what your problem was? Put the microphone right down there. And the man said, I'm just here for support of my wife. I don't have any issue. And he quickly had to move on. So did God tell him that he had healed him of his dilemma that he had come down for? No. The truth will bear itself out. I don't want just an emotional high. I don't want to just lay hands on people and see them shake under the power of God. I want to see something happen. I want a real church. And this is the way that God designed it. He said, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. But that doesn't happen just because we come in and sit down and call ourselves Pentecost or apostolic or real or Christian. There's prerequisites to all of this. There's prerequisites to everything. If you believe on me, as the scripture has said, prerequisite, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's all kinds of prerequisites. So we've looked at some of those today. If we really want an outpouring of the Spirit of God, if we want Day of Pentecost, then there's a lot that we've got to look at. Faithfulness. I would be so bold to say to you tonight, this morning, it's not night yet, I would be so bold to say to you this morning that many, many times God has had a word for you on a midweek service, just slow down, hunkered in, teaching. But if you're not here, you can't get it. Wednesday night's teaching is really to help edify, strengthen, and secure the people of God. Sunday night's kind of energetic, you know, like B12 shot. Sunday morning can be however we define. Obviously, we want God to move in whatever capacity he has, but that's just kind of the tendency. But on Wednesday nights, it's just foundational, just line upon line, precept upon precept, establishing, solidifying. But you know, the next step is you got to be more than a hearer of the word. I don't care if you come every Wednesday night. If you come every Wednesday night, hear all things, understandeth all things. That's what Paul said in, what was it, 1 Corinthians 13? Believeth all things, hopeth all things. Okay, if you understandeth all things, if you don't apply it, it matters not. You know, the same goes for me too. I don't get a pass out of this, get out of jail free card. I don't have it made in the shade. Friend, if I can't preach myself under conviction, I've got some problems. I need to preach myself into the altar. How else am I going to be saved? But this is what a real church should be. They weren't afraid to preach. You know why? Because it wasn't Peter's doctrine. It wasn't Paul's gospel. It was God. It was God. And you know what? Countless thousands were saved. That's the important part. And that's the thing that you've got to remember. This isn't to build a number. This is to get people saved. Accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, that's not in the Bible. Believing on God as your Savior, that's not in the Bible. Do I need to believe? Yes.
If you believe as the scripture has said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul's jailer believed, and then he went and got baptized. You got to believe. But believing doesn't save you. Believing just helps you get going. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? If I was a preacher just so that I could stand up and just tell everybody, you're going to hell, I'd be wrong. Most definitely wrong. But you know what? I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want to do everything that I can to help you be saved. And there are things that are in our lives that's not good qualities to Christian living. And where it comes down to is the devil just wearing us down. Wearing us down. And we finally get to the place that we just don't believe it. Well, I don't believe that you have to. There's no need. There's no belief that you have need to go to church on Wednesdays. And that's why people that do it spiritually struggle. That's just what happens. They get questions that they don't have answers to. You know where the answer was? Wednesday night Bible study. Confusion comes in. I just don't understand. I just don't. You know where understanding comes? Wednesday night Bible studies. I'm just telling you. Just telling you. I want to be saved. I don't want to just have a profession of faith. I want to be saved. And if you have interpreted my preaching this morning as mean, ill-spirited, then you've missed the whole point. I just see a big bad devil working on you over time, doing everything that he can to wear you down and wear you out. And you happen to have a pastor that loves and cares for you. You had a pastor before me for 27 years that loved and cared for you. And for the past 4.5 years, I've loved and cared for you, and I'm not going to stop. I'll do my best to fight every devil in hell with you. But I don't know that I'm going to fight the devils and you. If you're bent on being lost, then there's not much I can do. But if I see a glimmer of hope, I'm going to reach for it. I want this church to be jam-packed to capacity. Not for a number, but for souls. For souls. You will go to heaven, or you will go to hell. The choice is yours. The church is going to be resurrected. One of these glorious days, when the trump of God shall sound, I plan on being in that church. Amen. His altars are open here tonight, this morning. Maybe there's some things that you need to consider and to think about. Some things you need to talk to God about. If there are things that you have not heard and you have questions about, you can come to me and we can talk about them. We'll sit down. I don't want you to just believe anything just because I say. I want you to have understanding. If there's some part of confusion in your life, let's talk. Let's talk. I want you to be saved. Hallelujah. I want you to be saved. That's what's most important. I want you to be my next door neighbor in heaven. I want to shout around the throne with you. I want to be able to look at you, shake your hand, with a smile from ear to ear, say, we made it.
But I don't want you to look at me in hell and say, why didn't you tell me? I don't want you to look at me in hell and say, how and why did we miss it? No, I have no desire to be lost. I don't want you to be lost either. I must be saved. I must be saved. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, above all things, whatever it is, I want to be a part of that glorious church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, you need to talk to the Lord. You need to talk to the Lord. This goes beyond my belief, beyond your belief, beyond my opinion. This is about the book. This is about the blueprint. In the beginning was the plan, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh. The Logos. The Logos, not the Theos. The Logos. The Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. The plan was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.